might feel awkward. And you can blame this preaching cohort that I'm part of with some pastors from the Northwest Coast Presbytery, and as part of the Seattle School, it's a partnership with them, Seattle School of Theology. And I'm going to build in moments of silence intentionally into my sermons during this series. I may even engage and experiment in what's called conversational preaching, which means that I might engage us in conversation with your neighbor, and you're invited to. If you want to just close your eyes and pretend like you're alone, that's okay. Because I know that's hard for introverts, and I might do that sometimes personally if I were you. So, because I'm an introvert, and but hopefully in engaging conversation in silence, it helps us to go deeper into and hear what God has for us in his word. And so this is the first pause that we're going to take today. This one doesn't require any talking to your neighbor, but I am going to read Psalm 1 again for us. And this time I want you to not just listen with your ears, but to listen with your imagination, your godly imagination, as St. Ignatius calls it, to imagine, what do you see? What does it feel like? Can you imagine being a tree planted by streams of water? And could God be whispering something to you? And now I realize what I forgot, and it was a Bible. The great thing about the book of Psalms is it's the easiest book to find in the Bible, because you open it up to the middle and you'll probably land somewhere in the Psalms. So I landed on Psalm 91, so I just need to go backwards. So listen to Psalm 1 again. Listen with your imagination, not just with your ears. And I'm going to give you silence just to ponder what you hear. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Naturally do this because that's what we did in class when I blow the harmonica and you all looked up. So we hear that the one who delights in the law is the one who God watches over, delighting in the law. That might not sound very delightful to our modern ears, to delight in meditating on rules and regulations and laws. It sounds boring, tedious. But what does the law mean here? It's the word Torah, law. It means instruction, God's instruction. And it can be used very specifically to refer to God's commands and rules, but here it's broader. It's God's instruction, God's story of salvation, story of delivering God's people. And to meditate on God's law means to be formed by God's story, formed by God's gift of grace, and to trust that story, to entrust our lives to God's grace, to depend on it. And so for us, like Jesus and the Jewish people, the Psalms is a prayer book. It's a prayer book that teaches us the language of prayer, teaches us how we might be in communication with God and in constant communion, living with God through all the peaks and valleys of life. And then we're presented with two ways, this way of living with God, living in God's story, trusting in God's grace, and then also the way of the wicked, the sinner, the scoffer. The way of the scoffer is the way of the arrogant, the one who rejects God and God's ways, who says, I'm good on my own. I can make it on my own. Who turns their back on God. But then there's the way of the one who meditates on God's law, whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And it's because the Psalms, the psalm like this, God's ways, these prayers teach us how to live with God in the midst of all of life's circumstances. When we are lamenting, when we are grieving, we can find words to pray in the book of Psalms. When we encounter injustice, when we are alone and feel abandoned, we can find words to pray, to speak to God here in the book of Psalms. When we are filled with joy and wonder, when praise is on our lips and we just want to shout, thank you, because we're filled with gratitude, there are prayers and words to live life with God on those high mountain peaks here in the book of Psalms. We have a language of prayer here that teaches us how to depend on God, to live with God. But we're given this reality that it's not always easy to take that way, to meditate on God's law, to be filled with his gifts. There's this way of the scoffer that's tempting to say, I'm good. I got it, God. I can do this on my own. And so we're going to take a second pause here. And this time I am going to ask you to interact with your neighbor afterwards. But this time I'm going to read to you a poem by Wendell Berry. He's one of my favorite authors. Some of you may have a copy there if you want to read along. It's called Manifesto, the Mad Farmer Liberation Front. And in this poem, Wendell Berry presents two paths that we can take in life. And so just use this poem by Wendell Berry to help you consider what makes it hard to be rooted near streams of living water. What makes it hard to be rooted and grounded in God's grace, or to practice resurrection, as Wendell Berry puts it. So I'll give you a moment of silence, and I'll invite you to share. Manifesto. Love the quick profit, the annual raise, vacation with pay. Want more of everything ready-made. Be afraid to know your neighbors and to die. So friends, every day do something that won't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all that you have and be poor. Put your faith in the 2 inches of hummus that will build under the trees every 1,000 years. Laugh, Be joyful, though you have considered all the facts. Practice resurrection. Now, if you're brave, talk to someone next to you. It can be one or two or three people. I'm only going to give you a couple minutes, but share what makes it hard to be planted, rooted beside still waters. What makes it hard to practice resurrection, as Wendell Berry puts it? Or maybe you want to share, how do you practice resurrection? So I'll give you a couple minutes to turn and talk with people around you, or you can sit still and meditate. My daughter raised her, this is the PAX signal, so she, thank you, Vivian. And also, Vivian knows that this is my bad harmonica, so it doesn't sound very good, and I'll bring my better one next time, sorry. So we hear that God watches over the way of the righteous. That's how the psalm ends, is that God watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the scoffer, the way of the wicked, perishes, leads to perishing, leads to death. It's a life lived apart from God. It's the autonomous way, and which closely resembles the American way, the independent, rugged individualism, the self-made woman, the self-made man is the one who lives apart from God because I'm good, I got it on my own. A couple weeks ago, I read the Flannery O'Connor's short story, The Misfit, in preparing for this sermon. And it's a rough short story, just to warn you if you go look it up. But The Misfit, he has this line. He says, I ain't need no help. I'm just doing fine by myself. I ain't need no help. It's the voice of the scoffer. The voice of the scoffer that says, I ain't need no help, God. In fact, I got it. What you have to offer, I don't need. It's turning your back on God. And the way of the scoffer enslaves yourself to your own whims and your own desires that are often fleeting, and so you're chaff blown by the wind with no root or foundation. I ain't need no help. And there's the way of the righteous, the one whom God watches over, the way that God guards. The Hebrew word there is yada. It means to look. But God doesn't just look at us. It's about to get a little racy. That word, yada, to know in Hebrew, is sometimes used as a euphemism for sexual relations. It's a deep, intimate knowing. God looks on us with the affection of a lover, with the care of a mother who, like a mother hen in the Psalms, it says, gathers her chicks to her. That's the way the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, the one who is planted like a tree whose roots are sent out towards living streams of water. It makes me think of the woman at the well who's tired and goes there every day in disgrace. And then Jesus offers her living water, and she says, oh, give me, sir, give me this water. The tree planted in Jesus, drawing life from Jesus, that says, I need help. The word plant actually means transplanted, a tree transplanted by streams of water. It means to transplant ourselves in Jesus, to say we need help, to be like Psalm 70 and say, I am poor and needy. Come to my aid quickly. Or Psalm 46, Lord, you are my refuge and my strength, very present help in time of danger. The scoffer does not cry out for help, but the righteous know they need help, and they ask for it. They're like trees planted and dependent on that living water. We on vacation, we were over in Eastern Washington in Cle Elum, and on a bike ride, I was riding along the Yakima River, and there's life, green trees and shrubs along the Yakima River, and then up on the hillside, it was brown, and there was nothing growing. The tree planted by streams of flowing water, leaves do not wither. It bears fruit. And here's the thing about a tree like that. It's not just for its own benefit, but it provides shelter to the unhoused, to the immigrant. It provides food, fruit, to those who are hungry. It gives of itself to the flourishing of society. So we come to our third pause, our last pause. And I'm going to read Psalm 1 once again, and then I'm going to read a poem by Malcolm Gwyt. It's I Am the Vine. And I invite you to ponder what it means to be a tree planted in streams of water. Walter Brueggemann calls Psalm 1 a psalm of orientation, because in it we are grounded in the reality that God cares for us and watches over us, that there is life in the living water, Jesus. And so here in the Psalms, we learn the language of prayer. And so listen to Psalm 1 once again. Listen to this poem. And listen, ask God, do you have an invitation for me? Or is there a word of grace here specifically for me this morning that I might drink deeply of it? Listen to Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season. Their leaves do not wither, and all they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I Am the Vine by Malcolm Gwyt. John 15. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. How might it feel to be part of the vine? Not just to see the vineyard from afar, or even pluck the clusters, press the wine, but to be grafted in, to feel the stir of inward sap that rises from the root, himself deep planted in the ground of love. To feel a leaf unfold, a tender shoot, as tendrils curled unfurl, as branches give a little to the swelling of the grape, in gradual perfection, round and full, to bear within oneself the joy and hope of God's good vintage till it's ripe and whole. What might it mean to abide in such rich love as makes the poor heart glad? Holy and loving God, we pray that as we go out into the rest of our day, into our week, that we would be like trees planted next to your river of delights, drawing strength, drawing life from you. In your good grace, may we experience fruitfulness. May we experience life everlasting. Amen. Well, thanks for engaging in some conversational preaching and silence in the midst of sermons, and we'll continue to experiment with that throughout this series this summer.